recording.
You gotta start it,
though. Why do I have to start it?
You always start it.
Okay, this is Crystal.
And I'm Trista.
And welcome back to Forensic Mythology Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking... Well, I am talking about...
Why'd you say it like that?
Because you're just gonna interrupt me. You're not gonna talk.
I'm the funny one here. Well, I'm supposed to be the funny one. Whether it's true or not is up to interpretation.
Okay, well, I am talking about the Nazca Lines today. And do you know anything about that?
No.
Really nothing?
No. I know absolutely nothing.
Well, shit.
I know what ley lines are, vaguely.
It's not that.
So... Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, we're starting from scratch. Congratulations, everyone. So there's something that I feel like various media outlets have made a mythology around, like ancient aliens and the like. Yeah, I just, but they're very easily explained and much more historical in nature, like, because the myth part of this, like, or any, like, mythology that's attached to them isn't really coming from the indigenous cultures.
Yeah.
It's more from, like, weird bros on the History Channel. So that's why I'm like, it's not so much mythology, but there was a lot of weird speculation, we'll say.
Okay.
Which, you know, makes it interesting. So... Anyways, so the Nazca Lines are giant geoglyphs that are drawn into the landscape in the Nazca Desert in southern Peru, and they're thought to have been drawn between 500 BCE and 500 current era. So the thing that's most fascinating about them is that they're best seen from the air because they're so massive.
Oh.
So they vary between 0.2 and 0.7 miles across, depending on the picture. And so if you can just imagine, like, a picture drawn into the ground that's almost a mile across.
Okay.
And this is something that was...
What's the picture look like?
Well, there's a lot of different ones. I'll get to that.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, like, for sheer size, it's kind of hard...
It's a mile in length?
Yeah.
What about in height?
I mean, similarly.
So it's a mile by a mile?
It depends on each picture. They're all different, but yeah, they're
giant. Each picture is a mile?
Yes.
Multiple pictures?
Yes, there's a lot.
I think all the pictures together make
No, them. No. A singular one. They're
one singular
drawn.
Singular picture is a mile by a mile.
Yes.
Okay.
Potentially.
Okay.
Close to that.
All right.
But just like for sheer size, like imagine.
Pretty big.
So like... Some of them, you can't really tell what you're seeing from the ground. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
It would need to be from above, right? Yeah. So anyways, let me get back to my notes before I get too crazy. Yeah. So, altogether, they're about 800 miles. I said, like, literally in my notes, it says, altogether, there are about 800 miles of miles.
Awesome.
I shouldn't be in charge of typing my notes. 800 miles of miles, making up these glyphs. And the reason that they had lasted so long is because there's pretty much no wind and only about 20 minutes of rain per year in this area.
Of rain?
Yeah. So, like, either of those things I just cannot comprehend. Like I get extreme climates, and, like, we've lived in some extreme climates, like, that I think are extreme climates. But no wind ever in 20 minutes of moisture a year, like, I just cannot.
I think I would die.
I think, I feel like you would just be, like, frozen.
Frozen?
Not frozen, but, like, just stuck in time. Like, there's no wind?
Oh.
Like, everything's just still.
Not, like, cold frozen.
No, not like cold frozen, just, like...
Still.
Everything is still, and that freaks me out, man. Because I've always lived in a lot of wind.
You're, like, windy places?
Like, today, my big hair was making an appearance in a storm, and it was disturbing, I'm sure, for anyone who saw. So, okay, so... the idea that, like, things of that size carved into the dirt, basically, can be preserved on the physical landscape for that long is what's so amazing to me. Like, because there's no weather to come along and destroy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then there's climate change looming in the background, but I don't know. Just kidding. I don't know how climate change is anticipated to affect that area of Peru, but, I've wanted to do an episode on these for, like, from the beginning of this podcast, but I knew it was a situation where I can go over everything really quickly and say, yeah, it wasn't ancient aliens, and that's just, like, too simple, or I would have to go down, like, the rabbit hole of explanations and theories. We all know I have no time for anything in my life, so
yeah.
I kept putting it off until now, so congratulations, I guess.
Yeah, it took you, like, 3 whole days to, like, write this. On my computer, might I add.
Oh my god, it was like 3 different episodes of 15 minutes.
I got things to do, places to be.
Okay.
Well, the place to be is in front of that computer.
In your room, laying in your bed.
Laying in my bed.
I'm pretty sure that you could just watch your giant TV that's
hey,
also
I'm
in it.
I'm watching something on the computer. I'm also writing.
Okay, well, I'm sure that you recovered. Anyways.
Okay.
And I think you should acknowledge the fact that I put it on the computer instead of putting it on paper like every other time, and you always make fun of me.
Now there won't be rustling papers in the background.
Yeah, so, God, I can't win.
No.
I know, it's fine. So, anyways, yes, congratulations. But, before anybody goes all ancient aliens on me, like, the geoglyphs are visible from various hills and high points in the area, so it's not like you have to be in a plane to see them.
Mm.
And they were also relatively straightforward to create. They are about 4 to 6 inches deep, and they would remove the reddish-colored topsoil to expose a yellow-gray subsoil, and that makes a nice contrast on the landscape, like,
okay.
In something that's that large. You know, it's really, they're very different colors, so it's easy to see from above.
Mm-hmm.
So there were archaeologists from out of the area that noticed the lines in the 1930s and began to plot them out until it was apparent that they were giant pictures and not just some random lines. And that's part of what I was struggling with on the timelines here is, like, how deep do I go into this? So I'm going to kind of skip over that part right now. But
finding things?
Yes, because I also feel like, yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, wait, I just Googled some photos of them. And I know what these are now that I just didn't know they're called the
okay.
Nazca lines.
Yeah, so okay. There's this whole
Oh, there's a spider one, too. Or is that an ant?
There's a lot of
them. There's a bird. A dog?
Yep. And I will post pictures of them.
That guy looks like he has really big feet. Oh, there's, like, a little reptile. A little dinosaur. There's a guy.
Anyways, continuing on.
Sorry.
People can also Google them.
My favorite one is the monkey one.
So, There's you know, the whole archaeological history of how they discovered them, you know, like, white American archaeologists, and then documenting them, blah, blah, blah. And so I'll briefly cover that, but I didn't want to get too, like, in the weeds with that. So, so yes, they kind of, like, made their splash in the late 1930s. 1940s, they started really documenting things, other, besides the few that were, like, already there on the ground, they brought in some others to help just, like, plot out the lines. How big does this go? Where does it lead to? Like,
mm-hmm.
In the beginning, they just looked like lines. They didn't realize they were, like, pictures of things.
Yeah.
So, there's all that, and then
honestly, not gonna lie, if I lived out in the desert with nothing to do but, like, survive day to day, and there was no wind, and I got 20 minutes of rain a year, I, too, would go out and draw giant pictures in the dirt.
I know that you would.
What else is there to do?
And I appreciate you saying that, because I'm going to get into that in a second.
But there's people just, like, drawing big pictures in dirt?
People that
I love drawing pictures in dirt.
Don't have other things to do. But anyways, okay, let me focus. Okay. So, then in the late 1960s, a book was written called The Chariots of the Gods, and which was closely followed by a movie, like, in, I think it was in the early 1970s, of the same name. And it was basically, like, the predecessor of Ancient Aliens on the Not So History Channel. And, you know, like, everything was that was moderately difficult to explain in the archaeological record was blamed on aliens, but without much research or evidence of any kind. Think, like, QAnon for history or archaeology. So, like, they covered a lot of different ancient sites and offered alternative theories, but with Nazca in particular, it was framed that they were built as offerings to attract the attention of the sky gods, like, aka aliens, who had visited the area in the distance.
If I was an alien, and I looked down from my weird little spaceship, and I saw some dope-ass pictures drawn in the ground,
you're all about that.
I'd be pretty satisfied. I'd be like, wow.
Would you come visit Earth, though?
I would.
Okay.
I'd be like, wow, look at these silly little guys with their silly little drawings. I'd go down and say hi.
Okay, so they did it to attract the attention of the aliens, and they were thought to have, in this whole idea, visited the area in the distant past, and then, like, the indigenous people built these, basically asking the aliens to come back. There's also mention of the lines being runways for aircraft to land, like in ancient times when there wasn't aircraft. Even though that was ridiculous because the sand is too soft for anything to land on, and the areas that were cleared for the lines are the softest of all because their surface stones are removed. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it's like just the underlying sand. So that also doesn't make sense. And then at one point, like, the author of the book was asked about that, like, why did you put that in the book? And he was like, oh, that was just like an editor's mistake. Like, we don't really think that it was, like, a runway or anything. But then they never took it out of future, like, versions of the books.
Oh.
He's just jackass, I think. But, like, don't get me wrong. It's a very fun concept for fiction writing or, like, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or something. Or, like, watching the guy with the crazy hair on Ancient Aliens explain his versions of everything.
I like the guy with the crazy hair.
Like, I forgot his name, but he, like, we have similar hair, right? Like,
kind of.
I can dig it, but, like, he's kind of condescending, too. He's like, oh, you don't believe aliens built everything on Earth? We can't be friends. But,
well, I mean, there's possibility of aliens, but just perhaps not in the way that we think of them.
Yeah. I'm open-minded to it, but I don't use it to explain every single thing that happened in history that is, like,
I
big.
I like to use it to explain everyday occurrences. My teacher's like, Tristo, I asked you to do your homework. I was like, it was the aliens, dude.
Absolutely.
They stole my homework.
Yeah. It got, like, transported to another portal of time. Dang it. I forgot all my words. This is why I can't, like, lie about my homework. Or could never. Anyways.
I've lied about my homework a lot.
I know, you little liar.
What?
It's okay.
Every kid except you, apparently, has lied about their homework, okay?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. You're a little Miss Goody Two-Shoes.
Okay, so, let me get back to this. It's not cool when those kind of, like, bizarre conspiracy theories translates to the real world, as we have seen in, recent political developments, we'll say. But what happened here is that, like, as a result of this, the tourists started to, like, swarm the site and began to compromise the lines and take pieces as souvenirs, etc. And this is, like, a remote area that never really had that problem before. So it got to the point that one of the anthropologists that was working on the site, or she actually, I think, at some point, she was, like, a mathematician, and she was, they used her as a translator, and she was German, but she was able to translate, like, the local language for other archaeologists, and her, excuse me, her name was Maria Riesch, And so she had been working on the site for a long time. She just got really kind of obsessed with, like, the angles of all these pictures, and she had, like, mapped them out. And it sort of became, like, a labor of love for her. Like, she spent the last decades of her life mapping and preserving the lines. And she had published a book about it, and she used the money. It got to the point where she used the money that she got from the royalties from her book to employ security guards to preserve the sites, because people were just, like, screwing them up and taking stuff from them. So, eventually the Peruvian government took on this role, but it was a long time later. Like, it was just her as a private person that's not even from there trying to protect them. So, my first thought in all of this is that, like, if some random white archaeologist stumbled across and noticed these lines in the 1930s that had been there for 1,000 years, like, surely the local inhabitants knew about them all along. Yeah. And I'm still sure this is the case. But unfortunately, there is an egregious lack of indigenous voice in all of this. And it was nearly impossible to find anything about what the indigenous people thought the geoglyphs were for or why they were built. And that's also something that's, like, plagued anthropology, archaeology, museum studies from the beginning. Like, a lack of really listening to the culture that's being studied. Yeah. But that's a rant for another time. So, the real explanation for the lines is likely a combination of many things. So, some of the lines are consistent with water resources, like, harnessing water resources in this extreme climate where it rains for, like, 5 seconds. And, you know, if you're from the desert, you know, like, when it does finally rain, the ground doesn't absorb water because it's so hard. So it immediately starts flooding everywhere. So it would be a great plan to sort of divert the little water that they did receive into areas where they wanted it to go. And another theory is that, much like Stonehenge, some of the lines represent astrological alignments. When a survey of this was done, it showed more alignments that would, like, just more than would just be a coincidence, right? Mm-hmm. But also less than would make it, like, the whole purpose of the lines. So it was, like, some of the main ones would be aligned with, you know, like, the solstice or whatever, various points. But it wasn't enough to make it, like, the whole point of all these pictures.
Oh, okay.
And I think part of that, too, is if you, in my opinion, and I didn't really research this very much, so this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're basing your lines off of, like, spots of the sun hitting a certain place or, like, a shadow of something, it's automatically going to align with, you know, various solar points, right? So it would make sense for that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even said that. I sounded like an idiot just now. It sounded better in my head, but I didn't write it down. So, where am I at? Okay, so yeah, but it's less than what would make it, like, the whole purpose of the lines.
Okay.
So there's also a theory that the main straight lines were roads meant to be walked along to connect different ceremonial locations.
Oh.
And this I actually thought was really interesting because it reminded me of, like, Stonehenge when you're talking about, like, how there was the Woodhenge sort of, it was like the life and death sort of things. You're looking at me with a blank face, but we covered this in another episode.
No, I know.
Okay. Well, because when I read the theory about this, it really, like, made a lot of sense to me because there are, like, the straight paths that go, like, miles and miles and miles.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be, like, the main roadways to different ceremonial locations, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the outer shapes that make things decorative, like of a bird or of a whale or, you know, monkey or whatever. And there's all different kinds that go, like, around the outside of these pictures. And So when I was reading, this is the only one that had, like, any remote amount of indigenous, like, input, but it was talking about how cultures in, like, the Andes and stuff, which is, you know, close.
Yeah.
Closely to this. Would, you know, like, shamans and stuff would be able to call on animal spirits for healing powers, and could, in some parts of the culture, like, the shaman could transfer themselves into an animal spirit that would have the healing power of that animal or whatever power. It didn't have to be healing. And so, like, taking the trips around these animal shapes, because they look like pathways. They're, like, I think it was, like, 4 feet wide or something like that.
Okay.
Which is a pretty big feet wide, right?
Yeah.
For, like, a path. And so that made sense. Like, if they're, like, going on their quest with their weird juju, and they're walking around the outside of a shape to try and, like, get its animal spirit. I'm totally, like, just making this shit up. I'm not, but I also am.
Okay.
Like, it's an actual theory, but I feel like I'm just, like...
You're butchering it?
I am butchering it, but I'm also, like, just... It's my interpretation of what I just pictured when I read it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, sorry I butchered that. But, so... A lot of the area where the lines are located is very arid, obviously. It cannot really support a year-round population, so it's also been looked at as more of a ceremonial location, and or various ceremonial locations, because obviously this is a gigantic area. And, like, people would travel there. So one of the theories is that people would travel to these different sites at certain times of the year for rituals, like potentially for the aforementioned rains. And they could have also began to expand the lines into more elaborate pictures as a way of appeasing the gods when there was no rain.
Okay.
Or for other catastrophic events, which would also explain the lack of connection with modern natives to the lines, if this is true, since there's so little input. But this concept of hardship, not opulence, being the driving force for these massive ancient projects is something that we're going to cover in, like, another deep dive episode, like, okay, a bonus episode, about the Nazca Lines in particular, and that will be coming out soon, 'cause I have a whole other, like, angle for that, but, yeah, so there's, like, all these theories, and I feel like it's very much a combination of things instead of just, like, it's the aliens, and they came, and that's what happened. I think the water thing makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Because the more I started reading about water in the area and, like, another interesting thing is that the shapes have very little or very few actual rectangles. They're all, like, at triangles or, like, trapezoids, where it basically looks like if these are, like, culverts to kind of channel water, they're all going in a direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all being pointed in a certain way. There's a lot of triangles. And so it makes the most sense that in this place that has very little water resources, and, like, the places where people actually live are not up on these plains. They're down in the valleys. And so there was a study, and I didn't bring the book in here with me. Now I should probably go grab it. But there was a study that, like, looked at all these lines in their relation to water pathways, or, like, there's actually an underground reservoir and as, like, one of the central points. And then there's a lot of the lines, either they go, like, parallel to known, you know, rivers or whatever, or they end in a river. So it makes, I mean, I think the water thing is the most likely, but then they just got real artistic with it, and they were like, let's make birds.
And a monkey.
And monkeys. Because, monkey. Absolutely.
It looks like a monkey, so I've been calling it a monkey.
I mean, if we're gonna spend countless man hours, like, just drawing shit in the desert, we might as well make it look good, right?
Might as well make it look like a big monkey.
Yeah.
I'd draw a big monkey in the middle of the
desert. But, then just to have some asshole come along and be like, it was definitely the aliens, and they landed their spacecraft here. It's a bunch of, like, you know, airport bays. That's what this is. It's just, get out of here, please.
I did not spend 2 years drawing a giant monkey in the middle of the desert just to get the aliens credit.
Even more irritating is, like, I did not just have this carved into the desert for 1,000-ass years. Just to have them be like, it was the aliens. Oh. Anyways, I just wish that, like, Ancient Aliens didn't take over all of the shows, or all of the time on the History Channel. Like, what happened? Sad times. But anyways, okay, so, we are gonna have a bonus episode at some point, talking about more in-depth theories of archaeology, so you can, like, stay tuned for that. I don't know what I was trying to go for either, but yeah. So you like really didn't talk this whole entire time, and you're just looking at your phone. So
I was half the time I was looking at the monkey drawing, and then the other drawings, and the other half the time I got distracted. But I was paying attention. I did learn something new today.
What did you learn?
I learned about the lines. And that, you know, the aliens didn't build them. And that, you know, there's a monkey. There's a man. There's lots of different theories. One of them being with the water. That's the water collection. And the other one being aliens. And then my personal favorite, they were just silly guys who got bored in the desert and decided to draw a giant monkey. That last theory wasn't talked about by you. I just tossed that one in there.
Anyways. Okay, so, well, I mean, at least you learned something?
Yeah.
Okay. And,
that was funny at least once, right?
I don't think so.
Ow. You could have lied for me.
Yeah, I think you were not very funny, but that's okay.
Was I entertaining?
No, you didn't even say anything.
I said a bunch.
You said, like, nothing. No, it's anyway, not. I droned on. It's fine. You didn't interrupt me.
I did interrupt you. I just did right there?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna run now.
Oh, Jesus. Why did I say that?
Yeah, how does it feel?
I hate it very much.
I hate it very much. Sorry. Don't look at me like that.
All right, well, you can find us on forensicmythology@gmail.com. Wait, you can't find us there. That's our email address. You could find us on Instagram @forensicmythology and on Facebook @forensicmythology and the website.
The word forensic makes me think, like, murder mystery.
It's just, like,
we have not talked about a murder mystery yet.
Yeah, because it's not about a murder mystery.
But I feel like we should toss one in there.
Well, maybe I have one in the works, sorry.
You have a murder mystery.
I do.
We have talked about a murder mystery.
There's been
the literal last episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been, like, a fair amount of murder.
You know what? That was on me.
Yeah, it was
on me. We have talked about murder mystery.
And I have... Never mind. I have, like, a couple of murder mysteries lined up, but they're, like, they're cool and weird and not recent. Because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go listen to True Crime for that, but, so anyways, and I still have forgot our website.
It's literally our name.
ForensicMythology.com. Sorry, everyone, I'm an idiot.
No, I named it GeorgeLovesMonkey123.com. So
you better go make sure that's not a real website, because that's...
I'm not putting that Actually, I am gonna put that into my search engine.
Oh, Jesus God. Okay. Wait. Well, everyone, they we will keep you updated. George, no, they can look it up too. See you later. Bye. Monkey.